scientists are in different spaces when it comes to the COVID vaccine. Neil still believes in it as though he's still living in 2020 somewhere. But there's a lot of scientists that have, you know, jumped ship on the COVID vaccine, but they're trying to button it all up as like a one-off and fire it out into space where maybe Neil will see it in his telescope. What I mean is something that we pointed out at a recent panel that was put together in Florida by Ron DeSantis. And nothing against these guys, but I just want to point out that this is a lot of the conversation that's happening right now.
There's been a tremendous loss of trust in public health, and I think you can see that in the decreased uptake of vaccines that have been traditionally used in other states. This isn't just, anti-vax people. This is people who have really lost trust in the system. And I think in order to restore that, you have to restore that trust to get those people to believe in the efficacy of these vaccines that have been used for decades without problem and that have been very effective.
The other vaccines actually are quite effective, quite safe. The fact that the public health authorities in the United States have destroyed confidence in public health should not extend to the other vaccines as well.
The people who said that everybody should get vaccinated are just as unscientifically wrong as the people who say that nobody should have vaccines. So we have to try to get away from these two extremes.
Do not take this information that we are saying here about the COVID vaccines and spread that across all of these other vaccines that we've been giving with very, very nearly no side effects. We have one in a million. Okay, these are safe. One in a million, that is an incredibly rare side effect. So please, parents, do not spread this into other vaccines that have been used safely.
Well, this is why we've created a new segment for our show called It Ain't Just the COVID Vax. You know, this is our wheelhouse. This is what we've done. If you've been following us before COVID, you know all the work we did both legally and as reporters and in our investigations into the safety and efficacy of vaccines. Last week, we played you one of the installments of the Catherine Edwards deposition. Remember, we send Aaron Siri out because you are funding the ability for us to say in cases that aren't even our cases, but they're going to have a world-renowned scientist like Catherine Edwards, who literally wrote the book on vaccinations along with Stanley Plotkin and somebody else Aaron has deposed. But we are able to say, Aaron, we will pay to have you go and get involved in the depositions because no one is better at getting the truth from scientists than Aaron Siri is. And so we played you a clip. I'm going to play you a clip in a second, but I want to give it some context because it's really this interaction that you have as those that are supporting the work we're doing, what you are making possible, because it all builds on itself. It builds on this library of information we now have that Neil deGrasse Tyson doesn't have, and many of the scientists who I'm fans of the work that they have done, but they don't know their space here. But let's get to it. This idea, you know, that vaccines are safe and the MMR is safe and all this, and especially is always this really pesky conversation about autism. Do vaccines cause autism? In fact, when you go to the CDC's website, which you'll do if you get a VIS, a vaccine information sheet you're handed when you're supposed to give your child a vaccination, that's all of your informed consent. You're supposed to be told all of the benefits and potential side effects, but they hand you the sheet. Most times they hand you the sheet after you already got the vaccine on your way out the door, which is actually a violation of the Nuremberg Code. But whatever, the sheet basically says you might have some swelling in the arm and some other things. If you really want to know about other side effects, then go to this website. When you go to that website, this is what pops up in the headline. Vaccines do not cause autism. I mean, it's really weird because you didn't even ask that question. This is literally the top of the page about vaccine harms. And you just want to know what potential harms are out there. They go out of their way to start the conversation with vaccines do not cause autism. So, in the way that we do, we asked Aaron Siri, would you please, and look, there's a lot of weird studies that were done on MMR vaccine, which is given at 2 years old, and you could get in the thimerosal. So we wanted to say vaccines, that means every vaccine. You're pretty sure that every vaccine doesn't cause autism. So we said, let's bring a lawsuit about the vaccines we've never talked about, the ones given in the first 6 months of life. If you look at the CDC schedule, it looks something like this. These are the hepatitis B, the rotavirus, the diphtheria, the Haemophilus influenza, pneumococcal, inactivated poliovirus, and influenza. And look at that. Many of those are on their third dose by the time you're at 6 months. You could be somewhere in the neighborhood of 20-something vaccines inside of your kid within that first 6 months, which is more than any adult ever got back when this before this program was liability protected. But that's a totally different story. So let's get to it. So we would like, and this is a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request. Remember, the government works for us. So we said, will you please provide us with all the studies and trials that you rely upon when we're discussing the vaccines in the first 6 months of life, the ones I just listed, that make you feel comfortable with the scientific statement that none of them cause autism? Well, obviously, they didn't answer us the way they usually do. And then they pushed back, and we kept resubmitting and finally said, we're going to sue you. And we did sue them. We sued them and brought them to court. And the judge says, what's going on here? Why will you not just answer this FOIA request? And they're like, well, because we don't really want to. He's like, well, you have to. And so they did. They ultimately, after a long fought out battle, ended up saying, okay, here's the studies we relied upon for those first six vaccines. I named them all. You saw them. It was about 20 studies. And in those 20 studies, it sort of breaks down like this. You had one of them that was about the MMR. We didn't ask about the MMR, so that didn't work. One was about MMR and DTaP vaccine. So DTaP was on the list, and I'll get back to that. MMR and thimerosal. Thimerosal is the mercury-containing preservative in vaccines. So they did separate studies on just the mercury. But there was no mercury in the first 6 months of vaccines that we were talking about. And then there's all these just thimerosal studies about mercury. And then lastly, there's one study on antigens, which we never asked about and really isn't about vaccines, about total amount of antigens in vaccines, high antigen vaccines against low antigen vaccines, not our question, and still not the vaccines we're asking about. So what's really ironic is of all the studies they showed us, of all the vaccines that we asked about, only one contained one of the vaccines that we asked about, and that's the DTaP vaccine. They had nothing on the rest. So when you look at that one study that they sent us saying, see, we did look into one of the vaccines you're asking about, it's in this. This was a study done by the Institute of Medicine on adverse effects of vaccines, and this is what it says about its investigation of the DTaP vaccine. Conclusion. The evidence is inadequate to accept or reject the causal relationship between diphtheria toxoid, tetanus toxoid, or acellular pertussis, that's the DTaP, containing vaccines and autism. It's also the DTP or TDAP, any version of that. In fact, they said no studies really exist, but there was one study that they did look at. So there was one study, and this is what they said. The committee reviewed one study to evaluate the risk of autism after the administration of DTaP vaccine. It's the only study on the planet that actually exists. This one study by Geyer and Geyer was not considered in the weight of epidemiologic evidence because it provided data from a passive surveillance system and lacked an unvaccinated comparison population, meaning it didn't have a placebo group. It was using VAERS, our only reporting system, which we don't trust. So we're all screwed. There you have it. But that's all they have. They literally put in the one study that made our point. You never looked at this. You've never looked at this. But this is how this works. So once we won that, now we get to go into courtrooms and challenge scientific professionals that write the book on vaccines, literally, and say, well, what do you have to say about this? You know, we're just waiting to see if they try to lie because we now have CDC confirmed court won evidence you never did the proper studies. This is this week's piece of the deposition of Catherine Edwards, one of the leading scientific officials on vaccinations. Grab some popcorn. Here we go.
There are a number of peer-reviewed studies that have looked at and surveyed parents with autistic children with regards to what they blame as a cause of their child's autism, correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And many of those studies have come back with results that show that a significant proportion of parents with autistic children continue to blame vaccines as a potential cause of their child's autism, correct?
Object to the form of the question.
That is correct.
Now, in the expert disclosures for this case, it asserts that, among other things, you will testify that, quote, the issue of whether vaccines cause autism has been thoroughly researched and rejected, end quote. let me ask you, do you believe the issue of whether vaccines cause autism has been thoroughly researched and rejected?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. You have also repeatedly provided interviews in which you stated categorically that vaccines do not cause autism, correct?
That's correct.
When you made those statements, did you mean that no vaccines cause autism?
That's correct.
So it is your testimony that none of the vaccines that Yates received can cause autism?
That's correct.
Okay. It's your testimony that MMR vaccine cannot cause autism?
That's correct.
It's your testimony that Hep B vaccine cannot cause autism?
That's correct.
It's your testimony that IPOL cannot cause autism?
Yes.
It's your testimony that HIV vaccine cannot cause autism?
Yes.
It's your testimony that varicella vaccine cannot cause autism?
Yes.
It's your testimony that Prevnar vaccine cannot cause autism?
Yes.
And it's your testimony that DTaP vaccine cannot cause autism?
Yes.
And do you have a study that supports that DTaP doesn't cause autism?
I do not have a study that DTaP causes autism. So I don't have either.
Do you have any study one way or another of whether IPOL causes autism?
No, I do not, sir.
Do you have any study one way or another of whether Engerix B causes autism?
I do not have any evidence that it causes autism, nor that it does not.
And what about HIV titers vaccine? Any evidence one way or another of whether it causes autism?
No.
And what about Prevnar vaccine? Any evidence one way or another?
No, sir. No, sir.
And how about varicella vaccine? Let me just finish. Are there any studies one way or another that support whether it does or doesn't cause autism?
Part of MMR, but not as varicella by itself. No, sir. No studies that say it does or no studies that say it doesn't.
All right. There have been studies that have found an association between hepatitis B vaccine and autism, correct?
Not studies that I feel are credible.
Okay, which study are you referring to when you say that?
Well, why don't you show me the study and then I'll see whether I agree with it.
Folks, this is a part of you, and there's so many of you that I know are new to this show because of the COVID vaccine, and you're a little bit dismayed at what you just saw take place with the trials of the COVID vaccine, and there's not enough Neil deGrasse Tysons in the world to talk you into the fact that it would be a good idea to take it. But I have news for you. We have done years and years of investigation, the entire vaccine program, and frankly, COVID vaccine is one of the best tested. It's a horrible safety test, but that's how these were all done, and what you are seeing is what this really is. What Neil deGrasse Tyson is showing you and the scientists that were appearing in Florida on that panel, which is we have just a simple religion of wishful thinking that exists. I will state that none of these vaccines cause autism, yet I cannot point to a single study that can back up that claim. And by the way, when we have demanded, when every parent of an autistic child has demanded, will you just look in the database? In fact, Bobby Kennedy and I appeared for Donald Trump at the National Institute of Health to have this conversation. We said to Tony Fauci, who was sitting right across from me, Francis Collins right across from me, and a whole host of other scientists, will you please just do a retrospective study using your VSD database that has the health records of over 10 million people. Tens of thousands of them are unvaccinated. All this has been investigated. Just compare the two groups and ask questions like, which group, the vaccinated or the completely unvaccinated, have more autism? And you know what they said? We will never do that study. This is the world as we know it. This is the faith Neil deGrasse Tyson and these other scientists have. It's just faith. It's a religion. And why won't they do that study? Perhaps the best it's ever been stated is why one of the greatest world-renowned scientists who ran the National Institute of Health for the United States of America, I'm talking about Bernardine Healy. Before Francis Collins, she was the world-leading scientist running the NIH. And this is what she said honestly about the conversation of vaccines and autism.
This is the time when we do have the opportunity to understand whether or not there are susceptible children, perhaps genetically, perhaps they have a metabolic issue, mitochondrial disorder, immunological issue, that makes them more susceptible to vaccines, plural, or to one particular vaccine, or to a component of vaccine like mercury. The fact that there is concern that you don't want to know that susceptible group is a real disappointment to me. If you know that susceptible group, you can save those children. The reason why they didn't want to look for those susceptibility groups was because they're afraid that if they found them, however big or small they were, that that would scare the public away.
It sounds like you don't think the hypothesis of a link between vaccines and autism is completely irrational.
So when I first heard about it, I thought, well, that doesn't make sense to me. The more you delve into it, if you look at the basic science, if you look at the research that's been done in animals, if you also look at some of these individual cases, and if you look at the evidence that there is no link, what I come away with is the question has not been answered.
There you have it. There you have it. The question has not been answered by one of the world's leading scientists. They refuse to do the proper studies. Why? Because they are so petrified that they, even if they see a small group that is having this issue with vaccines, that that will scare the public. I mean, doesn't matter. Whatever you think, maybe that's true. Maybe we are so reactive that we would overreact or whatever the concern is. But what she's giving you is the motive for the biggest lie ever told and why science isn't doing its job. They're terrified to do the right job. And now we have seen one of the greatest declines in our children's health ever recorded, especially when it comes to autism. It used to be 1 in 10,000 were being diagnosed in the 1970s. And because of these mute scientists that are afraid to look at what they're doing, it has been a 241% increase. And now the CDC admits to 1 in 44 children. New Jersey has it about 1 in 33 because they track it better, 1 in 35. I'm sorry. And then ultimately, it's 4 times more prevalent in boys, 4.2 times more prevalent. So that means if you just isolated boys, we are looking at somewhere around 1 in 18 to 1 in 20 are being diagnosed in the United States of America. This is a pandemic. This is one of the worst pandemics that has ever happened.